okay, just kidding, we're just going to do one parable. Even though we used to live in Western North Carolina, and every time the mustard seed parable came up, you'd have to have this long explanation about this, because how many of you have ever grown mustard greens? Okay. So in North Carolina, lots of people grew mustard greens, and if you've ever seen a mustard green plant, don't actually grow that tall. They grow low to the ground, and so this parable makes absolutely no sense in Western North Carolina. But that's for another day. Because as you might have imagined from the children's sermon, I want to talk about the parable of the sower a little bit. Right? Jesus spends a lot of time explaining what it means to the disciples, but I sometimes think that these parables have to be unpacked 3 or 4 times. In fact, I've got support because I read 2 different commentaries this week, and one of them insisted that all of these parables would be perfectly clear to the audience of the time, and that in the oral tradition when Jesus was talking, they obviously understood what he meant, and only when we wrote them down did they become confusing. And the other commentary I read said, well, these don't really make sense even in their context, and so I think one of the things that is so important and lasting about the parables is that they just lead to these more questions and deeper inquiry. And so even among the commentators, we have this dispute. Either they made sense at one time or they didn't, and it's great both ways. And this is why you are not all ministers, because this drives you crazy. But I look at the parable and I see stories about our life, because as one of my, I hesitate to call it a New Year's resolution, but one of the things that I'm trying to work on right now is reading more books. I found that I was getting out of that habit. So this week I'm reading a book by a woman named Brené Brown. Has anyone heard of this person? Okay. Medea has. Excellent. One. She's a person that writes about vulnerability. And apparently she's popular in inking. Her new book has a waiting list at Kirkendall, even though there are 3 copies in the system. So other people in Ankeny have read her. But she's talking about vulnerability, and she's talking about taking risks. That's what she writes about, is what it's like to take a risk, to put yourself out there and say, I really care about something, I really love something, I am really proud of something, and how much that opens up the world to you, and how much also that opens up yourself to the world for what the world will do to you. And so in reading that, that's why I was thinking about the disciples needing morale boost this morning in this story, because you can imagine these people who have dropped everything in their lives, have left their nets behind and the boats, have left whatever jobs they have had behind to go follow Jesus because they are so excited about the message that he has, so excited, so sure it's going to change the world all around them. And then as the ministry progresses, they go on and go on and go on and see that not everyone shares their enthusiasm. And this must be disheartening. How many of you have ever really loved something that you did? Anyone? How many of you have ever shared it with someone who did not share your enthusiasm? How did that make you feel? Because that's what Jesus is describing in the parables, right? The parable, when you scatter seed on the ground, on the road, and the bird comes and plucks it up, that is when you have this thing you have made, this thing you've created and said, I am so proud of this. And you bring it to someone and they say, meh. Yeah, it's indifferent to it. They don't care. And when you have some project that you want to undertake, some ministry of the church maybe, and you say, this is a really great thing for this church to do, I think we should go start a new soup kitchen, for instance. In my case, when I was in Western North Carolina as a collegiate chaplain, one of my students came and said, we should have a trivia night as a fundraiser for some of the things we're doing. And I said, that sounds really great. And so let's make a list of all the things we need to do. And it was, okay, either write all the questions or license all the questions, secure a space to have this, find a bunch of refreshments to do it, advertise on campus. And by the time we got to the end of the list, a number of people in the chaplaincy sort of said, this is a really great idea. Seems like a lot of work. Maybe not. And so the person with the initial idea was disappointed. He here was this great idea everyone loved, and they took it up with enthusiasm, and then it's a little too hard. So that is the seed that falls in rocky soil close to the sun but has no roots. And then the one we're all familiar with. I have this really great idea, and I'm going to share it with you all. This is the best idea ever. I love it so much. Here's what we're going to do. It's going to be perfect. And they say to you, that's a terrible idea. How could you possibly have come up with that idea? Why did you waste our time with this idea, you ridiculous person? And that is when the thorns choke out the seed. And sometimes, you have an idea and you bring it to people and they say, that sounds like a good idea. Let's look at it some more. And they look at it some more and they say, this is a really good idea. I think we can do this. And they look at it some more and say, this is actually a great idea. Let's keep on doing it. Let's build this and let's have something new. And then you feel pretty good about yourself. But the thing about this is you can't control which one you're going to get. I think that's why this is something to lift up the disciples. Because this is not a farmer who is very careful in controlling exactly which quadrant the seeds are going into, like our farmers in Iowa, figuring out exactly how much, you know, fertilizer and water you need in a given spot. This is someone who is called to spread the word of God, to do what they are called to do, and they do it by spreading seed everywhere because they don't know whether there is good soil next to the road. They don't know whether there is good soil next to the rocks. They don't know who it is that is going to need the message on a given day. They don't know who it is that's going to receive it. They don't know who it is that is going to be in that spot to return that spirit 60-fold. And so they are called to spread the seed wherever it goes and leave to God what happens after that. And that's really important because in this story, the disciples and we are not the seeds. And we are not God providing air and sunlight. We're the sower, called upon to spread what we think the Word of God means, to spread the ministry of Jesus wherever we go. And if people don't respond to it, well, it's our job to sow anyway. We are not the seed. The rejection of what we do is not the rejection of us. Because it is so easy for us to say, we brought you this idea before and you said, no, I'm going to take all that I have and keep it inside and protect you from hurting me again. And that's a natural response to say, I don't want to be hurt. I don't want to be rejected. I'm not going to do this anymore. I am just going to stay quiet. When it comes time to talk about what we're going to do, I'm not going to say anything. But Jesus' message is, no, speak up. Understand that sometimes you have good ideas and they fall in the bad place at the wrong time. After all, you know, sometimes people turn over the soil and get the rocks out later on. And one of the examples we can see of that in the world is Martin Luther King Jr. He could have said, I am going to preach where I know there is fertile soil, in Ebenezer Baptist Church. I'm going to stay there, and we will do good work right here. He could have said that, but he didn't. He said instead, racial justice is God's justice. These are the seeds that I have to sow across this country. And so as he went across the South, he encountered a lot of thorns. As he ventured across the country in the north, he encountered a lot of roads where he was met with indifference. Along the way, he met a lot of people in rocky soil who said, this is a great idea, I agree. We must have justice in this world, but I don't think we should be getting arrested. I think we should do it quietly. We don't need to have this big ruckus. We can do it quietly. We can do it in all deliberate speed. We do not need to rush these things. He saw all of those things, but also he discovered wherever he went, sometimes the seeds fell into fertile soil. Sometimes they found college students who wanted to go south to register voters. Sometimes he found denominations like the UCC who went to court to sue the government on behalf of equal time for racial justice work on the air. Sometimes he found people who would support what he did, and sometimes he found ways that things could be changed. He and other people in the civil rights movement, he was not obviously by any means alone. But what he showed us was you never know before you throw that idea out there. You never know before you have that movement in your mind that you want to start, what's going to happen afterwards. And so Jesus says to his disciples, as he says to us, don't worry about the outcome. If you are called to do something, if you have an idea, if you have work you need to do, do it. Let God take care of changing other people or finding the seed for all of those things. Because your idea is not you. No matter what happens, you are a love child of God doing what God wants you to do. Regardless of whether there is a positive reaction or a negative one. And so the good news on this Sunday is, be the sower. Be unafraid. You are called to spread the seeds of love, to spread the seeds of hope, to spread the seeds of peace, to spread the seeds of music, to spread the seeds of joy, to spread the seeds of potlucks, to spread the seeds of outdoor worship services, to spread the seeds of coloring, to spread the seeds of choir, of organs, of whatever it is that moves you, and see if they find fertile ground. Amen.